Good evening,
people of God, and welcome to the Blog Talk Radio. This is your host and conference facilitator, Apostle Myrtle Johnson. Welcome. I bring you greetings from Grace and Mercy Outreach Ministry. Glory to God, where our pastor is Bishop Keith Johnson. Again, I do welcome you to the Blog Talk Radio, the moment of empowerment on this evening. On this evening, before we even get started, we're just going to go into prayer. Glory to God. I thank God for each and every one of you that chose to take time out of your busy schedule to just stop on by and hear a word from the Lord on this evening. Father, it is in Jesus' name that I do bless you, I honor you, and I praise your name on this evening. Father, I thank you for speaking a right now word, Lord God, out into the atmosphere, God, that will empower your people, God, to walk in that place that you are calling them to walk in, Father God. God, speak now in Jesus' name. I ask you, God, that I would decrease and you would increase, even by way of airwave on tonight. Father, I pray now in Jesus' name that the word leave an impact, God, in the lives of your people, causing transformation to come, God. Father, I decree by faith that it is so in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, people of God, welcome. Tonight, I'm going to be tackling a topic. I do want to thank those that are sending their comments, Lord, whether it's by way of text messaging, whether it's by way of Facebook, just saying how you have enjoyed the talk show radio. It's only been on, this is week number two, but I thank you for your response and letting me know that you did enjoy the show on last week. I do encourage you, if you have a topic that you want to hear discussed and to hear what God is saying pertaining to that topic, to continue to send your topics over to me, and as the Lord leads in prayer, I will tackle the topics one by one, amen, that you will be empowered to live a victorious Christian life. On today, we are going to take a look at the topic of walking in a spirit of offense, walking in a spirit of offense, and also the importance of being able to forgive those who have hurt you, those that have mistreated you, those that have abused you or used you, amen. I have been hearing a lot of people in the body of Christ who are offended and holding unforgiveness in their heart. Years ago, I taught a message that was talking about walking in the power of forgiveness. But today, we're going to look at that topic all over again. In the Gospel of Matthew, verse number 24, chapter 24, verse number 10 through 13, the disciples asked Jesus as he was departing from heaven, "What will be the signs of your coming and of the ends of the world?" And Jesus answered, "And then shall many be offended, O God, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Well, people of God, I'm here this evening to let you know that this day has come. The church we are seeing has become offended. We're seeing people in the body of Christ are becoming offended. We see members in the church, they become offended by the messages that the pastors are given in this hour. So many will leave the church because they become offended. Employees are becoming offended by their employers, so they quit their jobs. Couples are offended in marriages, so they are divorcing, citing and reconciling their differences. Children and young adults are offended, so they bring guns to school and shoot other students that are even in the school. We wake up with attitudes of offense. Glory to God. Those attitudes of offense are spirits of being angry, spirit of being madness, spirit of being upset. This has become the disposition of many in this hour, and it's simply because of the spirit of offense. If I had to define offense, it simply would be a violation, a transgression, to hurt or to cause pain, to cause to fall into a sinful state. The spirit of offense will actually choke off an ordinary conversation. It chokes off benefits of the doubt. It chokes off forgiveness. It chokes off tolerance. It chokes off the word of God. Yes, it chokes off the word of God. It denies human imperfection and expects a simple, loving person to be precise and mechanically inclined while trying to express sincerity. It assumes the worst. It ignores the obvious intention and digs for something ugly. It allows common everyday words to be misconstrued and misimplied as an offense of right. I believe it is the most vicious problem that we are seeing in our society on today, and it is implicated as the offender of rights. We also find that it will nourish an attitude of dissatisfaction in life, especially for those who choose to carry it around like a badge of honor that reads, indignant and rightfully so. So easily offended and never seeing that the problem is truly within. But most often they would rather place the blame on someone else rather than themselves and expect that someone else would be able to solve a problem that is actually something that is deeply bedded and deeply rooted within. An offense is Satan's trap to hold back the people of God from walking in their destiny, from walking in their purpose, and from walking in the divine plan according to the blueprint that God predestined for their lives. Let's look at the scripture in the book of Matthew. Now, Jesus was letting his disciples know that you're going to know that we're getting close to the end of time. Now we are at that time, people of God, where we are seeing that people are living and walking in a spirit of offense. The Bible tells us that in Matthew, it says, Jesus answered, and then he said, then many shall be offended, and they shall begin to betray one another. We are seeing the spirit of betrayal amongst the brethren so readily now in the body of Christ. It's nothing to see people betray each other, turn on each other for no apparent reason. Listen, people of God, the Lord is saying that this is a spirit of offense that we are seeing in operation in the earth realm. One day people love you, and the next day they hate your guts. That is a spirit of offense. That is not a normal behavior. Glory to God. It is a spirit that is in operation in the earth realm. The Bible goes on and says, and they shall hate one another. We are literally seeing now that people are quoting, unquoting, that I hate so-and-so, or I hate this one, or I hate that one. People, that is a spirit, and that spirit is known as a spirit of offense. But listen right here. Jesus went on and he told them, he said, and many false prophets will arise and will deceive many. The reason why we are seeing the rise in false prophets in this hour is simply because people want they have itchy ears and they want to hear a message that is going to cause them to live however they want to live, not living in a spirit of forgiveness, not love, and not showing each other that I am a child of God and that you are a child of God, but living in that place where I'm always on the offense. When somebody says something that I don't like, then it was geared specifically towards me. Living on a spirit, people, of offense. We are seeing it now, but it is a trap. It is a trick from Satan, and we are identifying the plots of the enemy in this hour, and we are expelling him, letting him know that I see the plots of what you're doing in this hour. The Bible goes on, and it says, and many are going to be deceived because they are looking for someone that will tell them it's okay to do whatever you want to do. There's no accountability factors. People now in this hour are, in fact, taking the grace of God for granted. We know that Jesus died for us. We know that. But he still gave a divine order that we in the body of Christ are to follow. Anything outside of that means that we are in a place of disobedience unto God. I believe that we must recognize the spirit of offense, and restraining from it is the key to our freedom in this day and this time. If when we get free from the spirit of offense, it will allow us to be able to walk in the power of forgiveness, glory to God. We are at a time, people of God, the Bible tells us that you have to be able to forgive those who have mistreated you. You have to be able to forgive those who have wronged you, glory to God. I'm trying to help somebody to get free even by way of airwaves on this evening. So what if they stepped on your toe? Because you still have a foot, glory to God, you've got to be able to forgive them because they knew not what they did. Even when Jesus was on the cross and he was dying, he had went through much ridicule. He had went through much hurt. He had went through much pain. Listen, people of God, he was not offended to the point where he turned from the Father. A spirit of offense will cause you to turn from the very thing that God has called you to. A spirit of offense will cause you to miss the destiny that God predestined for your life. Glory to God. Listen up, people of God. When Peter was walking with Jesus, and he had to turn around and rebuke Peter for an instant, but look what happened with Peter. Peter began to operate and walk in a spirit of offense. And because he began to walk and operate in a spirit of offense, he began to back away from Jesus because he could not handle the rebuke that came. Listen to people of God. Oftentimes, the way that the message comes was not meant to cause you harm, but it's meant to send you closer towards the Father. Many will get offended when rebuke comes. Many will get offended when they are corrected. Many will get offended, glory to God, when someone is not in agreement with the things that they do. They become offended and they begin to back away from God. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line on tonight. God has said, I'm exposing that spirit of offense, how it began to form and how it began to operate within the body of Christ. We tend to find that when the spirit of offense is in operation, they will begin to back away from the Father. They will begin to back away from the very thing that God called them to. But when Jesus rebuked Peter, he was letting Peter know that I know what God is trying to do here. We've got to follow the plans of God. The spirit of offense will come in to try to stir you away from the divine plan that God predestined, glory to God. And if you're not careful, it will cause you to miss what God wants to do in your life. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody tonight. The spirit of offense, glory to God. We see here in the book of Luke chapter 17, verse 1, it says, then he said unto the disciples, listen, it is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Oh God, we cannot walk around, people of God, thinking that that everything is always going to go our way. Glory to God. This Christian walk is not like Burger King where we can have everything our way. Glory to God. Jesus was letting the disciples know, he said, it's going to be impossible that at some point in time, you're not going to get offended. At some point in time, something is not going to go the way that you think it ought to go. It's impossible to think that we can live in this earth realm and everything always go our way all the time, glory to God. But then he went on and he let them know. He said, but woe unto him through whom they come. That he's talking here about the spirit of offense. He said, woe unto him and through it come. You see, everything is not all about us, people of God. But when we take to make a situation ours and we walk in a spirit of offense, Jesus was saying, woe unto them that is even causing the offense. Glory to God. The spirit of offense can affect us on a daily basis. We have to choose to allow people, words, or actions to offend us. I'm going to repeat that. We have to choose to allow people, what they say, their words, or what they do, their actions, to offend us. Oh, God. If after a period of time, if we consistently build on the benefit of the doubt, on tolerance, on patience or understanding, and always allowing the human imperfections, then we will not enjoy the benefits of what God predestined for our life. Glory to God. We cannot allow what people do to affect our walk with God. If we do, then we are allowing them to have too much leverage in our life. Glory to God. If you allow everything that someone say to get you at a place where you back away from God, then the Bible tells us in the book of Hosea somewhere that there's not much to our walk with God. Glory to God. We've got to get to a place, people of God, where we are not walking in our feelings and we're not walking in our flesh. When we are walking in a spirit of offense, you're walking in your flesh. Yes, you are walking in your flesh, and God is not being glorified in the actions or the response to the offense. Glory to God. The Bible tells us that, and I'm going to throw this in here. This is a little extra nugget, that if you have fought with someone, you ought to go to that person, amen, and confront the issue of what is causing the awe. Glory to God. That you may not walk around in your feelings in a spirit of offense. If you go to them and they still will not forgive you, then the Bible says you ought to take somebody else as a witness to what the conversation entails. If at that point the situation still cannot be rectified, then that is when you take it to the church. Amen. The spirit of offense. That is why many have gotten off their post with God, because they got offended. They did not like what someone said. They got offended. And they began to operate from a place of offensiveness, where they were always on the offense, and now they're not walking in the divine will of God. Listen, people of God, in the book of Matthew 23:24, it states, "Therefore, if thou bring the gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee," the Bible says, "leave there the gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer the gift." Listen, people of God, if we are walking in a spirit of offense and in a spirit of unforgiveness, God is not even accepting our gifts at the altar. Oh, God, he's not accepting what we are giving unto him, because we are at a place where we are at enmity with God. Glory to God. So people of God, he's charging us when we come to the altar that first we got to go and get things right. Oh God, we've got to go and get things right, and then we can come and bring our gifts before the altar. He said, if we're not willing to let offense go, if we're not willing to let unforgiveness go, he said, go your way. He said, first you've got to be reconciled. You've got to come together in unity first. He said, then come and offer your gifts unto me. Glory to God. You see, Jesus thinks so much about your relationship with people. He thinks so much about your relationship with people that he doesn't even want your sacrifice until you mend first the differences that you have one with another with your brothers. Unforgiveness, listen, it's just like an acid in a container that it dwells in. It's just a matter of time before unforgiveness is going to bust some stuff loose. I'm trying to help you. Sometimes we wonder why it is that God will not release unto us a thing that we've been praying about, that we've been petitioning him for. God is saying, go back and get some stuff right first. He said, go back and make some amends first. Let the spirit of offense go. Let the spirit of unforgiveness go. You see, because a spirit of offense is linked with a spirit of unforgiveness. If you cannot walk in forgiveness, God says in his word, how can I forgive you for the things that you do wrong if you're not willing to forgive your brother or your sister that have offended you? I'm trying to help somebody here on tonight. If we want God to use us at the fullness, if we want the maximized capacity of the anointing of God flowing in your life on a consistent and on a regular basis, that you can lay hands on the sick and they recover, that you can see the miraculous signs of God move, all you got to do is speak a thing. God is saying you've got to dig deep wells within yourself and forgive first. Glory to God. If you're believing God to release healing, if you're believing God to restore, if you are believing God to set free, if you're believing God to deliver, then God is saying you've got to let go of the spirit of offense, the very thing, that one that offended you by saying something that you did not like. God is saying you got to let it go. That one that did something to you 20 years ago and we're still holding on to it now, God said you got to let it go. You're believing God to do some wondrous things in your life, but you're holding on to unforgiveness. And if we're not careful, unforgiveness, now you're becoming angry and you're becoming bitter. Oh, glory to God. You're becoming angry and you're becoming bitter and you're walking around with chips on your shoulders. That's because a spirit of offense came in and it took up a residency there. That seed began to grow and it produced anger and bitterness. Glory to God. And now every single time somebody says something, every single time somebody don't look at you the way that you think they should, all of a sudden now my feelings begin to rise and I'm offended. Who do you think you're looking at? I don't know why they're looking at me. Glory to God. You see, I'm trying to help you to be able to recognize when that seed is planted on the inside of you, if you do not allow the Holy Spirit to root it out, if you don't allow God to pluck it out, if you don't allow God to do the work on the inside of you to transform a thing in your life, you will tend to find, just like what Matthew said right here, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he simply said, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Listen, people of God, that is what we are seeing so prevalent now in the body of Christ. People are stiff-necked and they're hard-hearted because the love of people, the love of God has waxed cold in their hearts. Their hearts have become hardened, and there's no such thing as forgiveness as a part of them. Oh, God. Oh, Holy Ghost, help somebody on tonight to be able to recognize now because offense came in. I'm hard-hearted now, and I just stay in that place, and I seclude myself from everybody. Oh, I'm trying to help you. I seclude myself from everybody because my heart is hardened now. And he said, you're going to see these things all the way up until Jesus return. Listen, people of God, well, if we want to be healed, we've got to first learn how to forgive. So somebody may say, why do I have to forgive them? I can forgive you. But I'm not going to forget what you did. Jesus said, I threw it in the sea of forgetfulness, and I remember it no more. So then, people of God, we have been commanded to forgive. That's a command that he gave unto us. He spoke it in Leviticus 19 and 16. He spoke it again in Luke 6 and 37. He spoke it again in Mark 11 and 27. He spoke it again in James 5 and 9. He spoke it again in Colossians 3 and 13. And then he spoke it again in the book of Ephesians 4 and 32. If we do not forgive, then God will not forgive us. That means he's not going to forgive me. That means he's not going to forgive you. Jesus' death on the cross is for naught, and our salvation would be in question if we cannot forgive our brothers and our sisters who have offended us. Our salvation, our very salvation is questionable. Glory to God. God is a forgiving God. And if we cannot forgive, then our salvation is questionable. Are you saved? Are you really a child of God? Listen up, people of God. The Word of God tells us that we act like our Father. Whoever our Father is, we have attributes of that of Him in operation in our life. If Jesus is our Father, then we should have attributes of Him, and that is love and forgiveness in operation in our life. If Satan is our Father, Satan is an accuser of the brethren. Satan will always accuse you and bring back before me, well, you said this to me. You did this to me. Yes, it may be true that you did it, but the Word of God says when you ask for forgiveness, we are commanded to forgive. Glory to God. If we do not forgive, we may be eating and drinking condemnation unto ourselves. Even when we go before the Lord and we take up communion, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 30, read for yourself. You don't have to take my word. If we do not forgive, then we are bringing, we're eating condemnation when we partake of his body. And we drink of his blood in this form of communion. If we got unforgiveness, listen, people, if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, get it right before you even take communion, because you are bringing condemnation on your own self if you do not forgive. If we do not forgive, God will not deliver us from tormentors. That is hurts. He will not deliver us from pains. He will not deliver us from wounds. He will turn those hard feelings into self-pity, into bitterness, into resentment, and ultimately into hatred. If we are not willing to forgive, it's going to hinder us from healing from sickness and that forgiveness that's going to cause that release to come forth. Glory to God. If we cannot offer anything to the Lord at his altar, oh, God, we can't even bring an offering to God. We cannot even bring an offering to God when we got unforgiveness in our heart. That simply means that you're just giving an offering to God for nothing. That means God is not honoring what you are bringing to him at the altar. When we come to the altar, people of God, listen, that is a place of exchange where you got to release something in order to receive something. Oh, God. Oh, kande bo shanta ba se kande riosa. In order, whatever you come to the altar and you are expecting to receive from God, you've got to be willing to let something go. You've got to be willing to let unforgiveness go. You've got to be willing to let the spirit of offense go. You've got to be willing to let that all against that brother or that sister go. You've got to be willing to let that one that stabbed you in your back go. You've got to be willing to say, I forgive you. Just like what Jesus did after he had been ridiculed, after he had been beaten, after he had been ostracized, after he had been had whips on his back and blood was running. Oh, God, blood was just running down on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they knew not what they did. Glory to God, because if the enemy knew what he was doing by causing an offense to come in your life, he would not have even placed that thing right there. So you've got to be willing, people of God, first of all, to forgive. Now, I know we're kind of pressed from time, but I'm trying to get through this on tonight. The law of the all, anything against any, our God. And when we stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. Matthew 11:25, the law of aught. If you want your prayers to be answered, you've got to forgive. It said, and when ye stand praying, when you stand petitioning God, when you stand before God and say, Father, I ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, to do this for me, Lord. You've got to have forgiveness. Sometimes we wonder why God hasn't answered us yet. It's because that spirit of offense is right there, and unforgiveness is stopping the hand of God from causing the release to come. Glory to God. We are told to forgive. How many times? Sometimes you may say, well, I forgave them one time, but they keep on doing the same thing, so they're not sorry for what they did. That's not what the word of God said. Look what the word of God said in Matthew 18:11-22. It says, forgive 70 times 7. That means you got to keep on forgiving. You got to keep on loving. You got to keep on letting all that stuff. You got to keep on doing it. When we don't forgive, we are saying to ourselves and to God, I'm going to hold on to these people captive with my anger until they have made complete restoration unto me, until I've collected my IOUs. I'm going to repeat that because God really wants us to get this thing. When you are believing the hand of God to move, I don't care what they did to you. It does not matter the nature of the offense. It does not even matter the dimension of the offense. God said, we've got to forgive. He says, right, he dropped his thing so heavy. He said, I am going to, when we say, I'm going to hold on to what you did to me, I'm not going to forget it. I can forgive you, but I'm not going to forget it. That means you're holding on to it. Come on here, people of God. That means that I still haven't forgiven you yet. If every time someone walks in a room and you feel the hatred and you feel a rise in your spirit, then that lets you know that you haven't forgiven them. That lets you know that you are still holding on to the thing that they did against you. And what you are saying to God is that I'm going to hold on to what they did. I'm going to hold them captive to the nature of their sin with my finger until they have made complete restoration to me, until I've collected my IOUs from them. That's the law of binding. We come on, people of God. We got to learn how to bind the attack from the enemy, glory to God. And even with this, there is such a need that we get free from the spirit of unforgiveness in this hour that nothing will hinder the move of God in your life. I encourage you on this evening, glory to God, even as we close out, to search your heart deep. And if you find a place of unforgiveness in your heart and a place of offense, release it right now, this moment, unto the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, help me, Lord, to be able to forgive those awes against people that have offended me. Regardless of the nature, Lord, I give it to you even now, Father, and I forgive what they have done to me, that there will be nothing that will hinder the move of God in my life. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer on today, know that you've already forgiven them, and therefore God has forgiven you. Join me right back here on next Monday at 6:30 p.m. until 7. Until then, be blessed.